live from Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We've got another exciting addition to the Career Library, a brand new career. Two ways you can reach us: YouTube. We are streaming there live. You can ask us questions throughout the broadcast. We'll make sure to get those, pop them into the comment box. You guys can always email me, zach@zachballinger.com, and we'll make sure to get to those questions. Dr. Rubenstein, thank you so much for joining the show tonight.
It is my pleasure. Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me to be here.
So I kind of want to learn more about your career, Dr. Rubenstein. What exactly are you a doctor of, and what does that entail, and all that good stuff?
Well, I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, and to become that, first thing I had to do was get through medical school. And, I went to college, went to medical school, 4 years each, and then had to do my surgery training. It's an interesting way that people learn how to become a doctor and then get trained in their specialty. It's different from almost any other career. When you finish medical school, then you've got to do your training in whatever discipline you're going to do. And so I did general surgery for 3 years. I did a fellowship in pediatric and craniofacial plastic surgery, and then another fellowship in hand and microsurgery, and then did my plastic surgery training for 2 years. And when I was done with that, I was starting my practice as a plastic surgeon.
Wow, pretty impressive with all the schooling and everything. Now, what made you decide to go? Obviously, you had a dream about being a medical doctor. What made you decide to pick plastic surgery by chance?
Well, it wasn't really my first choice early on in my education. My wife will laugh because she's an attorney, but the first thing I wanted to do was be an attorney. And it wasn't until I had an experience with death, really, that prompted me to think about being a doctor. I used to I'm in Miami, Florida. That's where I practiced. And when I was a kid, I was living in New York City, and we would come down, my family would come down to South Florida and most major vacations. My parents were both teachers, and so we had all major vacations off. So Easter, which is coming up, spring break type of thing, summer break and winter break, we were always down here. And I kind of had an idea maybe I wanted to be a doctor. So I volunteered in this place. It was a rehab and convalescence center, and mostly convalescent, mostly older people kind of living there as residents and living out their life because they needed assistance there. So one day I'm standing, it was a two-level building. I was standing in the first level through the main entrance, which is where the office is, and someone wheels in a stretcher and comes to the office where I'm standing there talking with an administrator. And he says, I'm here to pick up the body. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He said, yeah, he kind of hands me over this little slip of paper with a room number. And sure enough, it's a room number with someone upstairs. I didn't know anyone had died, but I can take you up there. And so I did. And we went up the elevator, went to this room. And this particular resident of the facility had died overnight. And I guess the nurses called and made arrangements. And so I helped move her body onto the stretcher. And it was the first time I'd ever experienced, a firsthand experience with death. And it was very impactful. I took the rest of the day off and went home and sat and thought, well, what do I want to do with my life? And, kind of the first realization of mortality and that there's a limit to life, and what do I want to do with mine? And it kind of hit me that I felt like, well, this is a good... being a doctor is a good way to help people live better lives and prolong their lives. And so, that's when I said, I think it's what I want to do. And then I went and got some experience back home in New York when I was in high school. There was Mount Sinai Medical Center just a few blocks away. Volunteered in the emergency room and had an experience there that then made me feel like I want to be a plastic surgeon. The experience there was a young girl came in. She was probably 8 or 9 years old, had her little fingertip caught in the door. And so it, kind of amputated the tip of the finger, and the nervous parents came in with the little finger wrapped up in some gauze and moist, and a poor girl with her hand wrapped up with some band-aids. And they called the plastic surgery resident to come down and take a look at her. And he came down, put his special magnifying glasses on, these loops, and sat down there and then just stitched it back, each stitch just perfect. And, you know, watching that, I said, you know, this is my personality. It's exactly what I would want to do. You know, that attention to detail, being the perfectionist, you know, that suits me. And so if I'm going to be a surgeon, I think that's the kind of surgeon I want to be.
Wow. Fascinating story. And so awesome. I always teach college students. One of the big things is get out in your communities and volunteer. First of all, helps with networking. Second of all, your community needs it. And third of all, you never know what you'll realize when you're out there volunteering. And your example kind of shows that. What are you passionate about in your job? What kind of drives you? I know you just told that story, and obviously for you, that's one component. Is there something that gets you motivated? Is it patient outcomes? Is it what drives you?
Well, there are a few things, but a couple things that stand out in my mind. And the first one is patient outcomes, but in a specific way. You know, the things that I do, people think, oh, plastic surgery, it's all glamour and glitz and, you know, fluff. And it's not really the case. Well, first of all, you should know plastic surgeons do all kinds of reconstructive surgery. Now, it so happens that my practice is mostly cosmetic surgery, 95% cosmetic surgery. But plastic surgeons in general do burn surgery, do facial reconstruction, do, you know, craniofacial surgery, all kinds of breast reconstruction surgery, and plastic surgeons reconstruct the entire body from head to toe. And so most of plastic surgery is not cosmetic surgery. In fact, hand surgery, I did a hand fellowship. A lot of plastic surgeons do hand surgery, and I did for many years of my career. But my career now is 95% cosmetic surgery, and within that, it really is still very impactful into people's lives. And just today, I had operated on a patient. I did some breast surgery on a patient and some tummy surgery. And this was her first follow-up since seeing her for her surgery. And she was just kind of telling me tearfully, so grateful for her results, that, you know, I gave her life back. That she really felt terrible about the way things were for her for a long time, didn't feel comfortable, wouldn't remove her clothing, even with her husband. And, you know, now she feels so much better, so much more confident. And, you know, with tears in her eyes, she's saying, you know, thank you, thank you. And it's moments like that where, you know, okay, you know, I really made a big impact for this person, and they're going to go on and enjoy their life and live much fuller as a result. And so those moments are really special. And thankfully, with what I do, I experience those on a regular basis. There's that's really, I'm very passionate about trying to do the best thing for people. And in the same vein, kind of an extension of it, I do a lot of patient advocacy and trying to educate people and making sure that they know what the real deal is. Because, you know, frankly, there's a lot of bull out there about plastic surgery, a lot of nonsense that people will put on the internet and you hear all kinds of ridiculous things. And there are also a lot of doctors that are doing what I do that probably shouldn't be doing what I do. And unfortunately, the public has no idea how to, you know, sort that out. So what I usually will say with regard to this is the situation is caveat emptor, you know, buyer beware, but most emptors don't know how to caveat. And I spend a lot of time trying to educate people and let them know what the real deal is. And I really feel strongly about that, kind of being a steward of my profession and trying to help people stay safe, make good choices, you know, get great results, but do it in the best of situations and not find themselves in a bad situation, because there's a lot of bad information. There's a lot of bad actors out there, and you want to stay safe and you know, make sure that you're making the best choices you can. And I put a lot of work in to try and get good information out there. Got a whole Instagram profile specifically for that, at Plastic Surgery Truths. It's all Q&A and, you know, warning people about potential problems, you know, telling the real story behind procedures. Very transparent in my other IG, which is at Dr. Rubenstein. We show live surgery every day that I operate. We're showing clips from the surgery in real time, so you can kind of follow along and see how this stuff is really done. And we show the real before and afters and real follow-ups. And if patients have a problem, we show it. And we see how they get through it and how things heal. And you make it real. So it, I feel very passionately about educating in, you know, a transparent and honest way.
That's so amazing. I applaud you on that, because I'm sure my demographic that's out there watching this video is a lot of the younger folks who've watched the show Botched. And, you know, there's a lot of, like you said, if you don't educate people and show them the right way, and they watch these shows and they think everybody's like that. So I'm so glad you're shining a light, peeling back the onion, if you will. Now, what's some of the things that are challenging? I mean, I can pretty much a guess, but what's some of the challenging things about your job that people should know?
There's a few things. You know, you mentioned Botched. There was a time that the network was considering doing Botched Miami, and I was under an agreement to do that with them if they had chosen to do that. So a little bit of not very well-known trivia. But the challenges, you know, there's a few. You know, one of the biggest challenges is making sure patients understand what their best choices are. Because sometimes someone will come in and say, oh, I need a tummy tuck, but they don't need a tummy tuck. You know, they may have a not a clear picture of their own situation. And I've got to make sure they get a clear picture and understand, hey, you know, here are what your real issues are. These are the best procedures, if any, that can help you. And sometimes I tell patients all the time, sometimes the best choice in doing something is to do nothing, you know. So it always circles back to education and making people understand what their real choices are. And some of the things, I do a lot of corrective surgery, is, again, the whole Botched concept. So I'm not a stranger to someone coming in and saying, hey, I had surgery in this other country, or I had surgery down the street and kind of got messed up. And, you know, what can you do for me? And, you know, those can be very challenging. I love doing them. I love doing what we call secondary cases or tertiary cases. Might be the second or third or fourth time someone's having an operation, and trying to give them a better outcome, trying to right the ship when things have gone wrong. Those can be very challenging, but, you know, that's the kind of challenge that I really love.
And, you know, let's take you back. We're going to go on a time ship and take you back to when you were a kid, let's say fourth, third, fifth grade, somewhere around then. Did you have a dream career growing up?
Well, like I said, for a while I wanted to be an attorney, but even in later, you know, grade school, fifth, sixth grade, I've always been interested in sciences. And my mom loves to tell the story of when me and my best friend at the time came downstairs. I had a microscope, and we came down with a slide behind one of our backs and a little sharp probe in another. Said we needed a blood sample because we wanted to look at blood under the microscope. Of course, we weren't going to stick our own finger. So, you know, wanted to get mom to volunteer. So I always had that interest. I'd say it really developed around the time, you know, that I told the story about with that convalescent center experience.
Reason I ask is because a lot of times I challenge people as a career consultant to look back on your own life and pull from it. And pull from some of the dreams or some of the strengths maybe teachers mentioned. There might be an underlying factor there for your passion and your career. And, you know, you've kind of given us that with the scientific background that you said you kind of had a passion for even as a child. So very interesting. Now, let's, you know, people might guess what you have to deal with, but let's, you know, I encourage people to do preceptorships. And so that means like job shadowing, following somebody around to see what you do. So if you walked us through a typical day, if somebody was with you in the morning and they left, you know, at work, what does it look like?
Well, first of all, we do welcome students. So, and I have, you know, students, other doctors, residents, all kinds of visitors at any given time. So, you can get that experience if you want. I do encourage people to seek it out. You know, when I was in that emergency room, as soon as I decided, you know, I knew I wanted to do this, I started trying to get more experiences, volunteering, trying to get into operating rooms to see what surgery was really like. And when I got to medical school, I did the same thing. I volunteered in the plastic surgery department to try and get more experience. So that never ends. I think it's great advice. And I think, you know, a lifelong of learning, you should continue to seek those kind of experiences out. So, you know, we definitely offer that for people who are interested. A day in the life. My day depends on which day of the week it is. I see patients for consultations on Tuesdays and Fridays, like today. But today was a little different because normally I'd be wearing a suit, but you see me in my scrubs because today we did a little surgery this morning. A patient requested to have surgery on a Friday morning, so I did an upper eyelid lift this morning and then spent the rest of the day seeing my follow-ups and consultation patients. And that's what a Tuesday and Friday are like. And on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and apparently sometimes Friday, we're operating on patients from morning to night. I come in, see the patient, getting ready for surgery, mark everything up. They go to sleep. We do our thing, wake up, maybe do another one or two procedures like that.
Awesome. Thanks for walking us through that. And, you know, one of the questions that I had emailed in earlier and somebody asked this, I kind of think I know the answer, but I want to get your perspective. It's a college student that's thinking about taking their MCAT and going into medical school, but they're already worried about what kind of doctor they want to be. What advice would you give somebody that early on in their career, just thinking about going to medical school and saying, well, I need to have my fellowship picked out already? Give us a perspective on that.
Well, if you have the experience in medicine already and you know what is motivating you and you have some draw into a particular specialty or subspecialty, that's great. But you're going to be in the minority. And I was when I went to medical school, having had that experience in high school and saying, I think plastic surgery is the thing for me. I went and got more experience when I got to medical school and learned. And then I said, yeah, I think this is really what I would love to do. Medical school, the world is your oyster, and you can choose whichever pearl you want in there. You really have, the whole world in front of you of medicine, and there's no rush. If you're passionate and motivated, that's great. And that was me, but I was probably, one of 10, every 10 students, maybe one person was like me. A lot of people went there and said, I think I want to be a doctor, but I don't really know enough about it to know what I want to do. And I wouldn't be in any particular rush. And if you're a pre-med student, looking at medicine, you got more than enough time to get some experience and learn. If you're a med student, you're going to go through your rotations. You're going to go to lots of clinical departments, work with all kinds of doctors, and look at everything. I would encourage you, look at lifestyle. Look at what it's like to work that day. Do you take call? What is taking call like? Some people get beat to hell on call, and some people, barely get called. And there's a lifestyle thing, too. If you're a pediatrician, when you leave the office, unless one of your patients gets admitted to a hospital somewhere, which does happen, and you're pretty much in the clear. If you're an anesthesiologist, when you leave the hospital, you're done. You have nothing to worry about on most of your services to go back and see patients. Whereas if you're a gynecologist, then, if you're an obstetrician, gynecologist, OB-GYN, you have patients delivering babies all the time. So if you're on call, you're going to be doing that. And just, you may love that. And, I'm sure you guys talk about this, and then you heard this saying in the website before. There's an adage that goes, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. And I don't feel like I'm working. So that's what I would wish for anybody. Find what you really love. Find a passion. And it's going to be, you'll put the hours in. It won't be easy. But if you love what you're doing, you're not really working.
I love it. And, I worked with a lot of doctors, medical school students and residents over the years. And that's been the common theme. Most of them don't know when they go into medical school. They know they have that calling to be a doctor. But I find that the students figure that out in medical school by when they start doing their rotations. They start going around, hey, I don't want to be an oncologist, but hey, this over here, my dermatology kind of piques my interest. Or maybe I just want to be in internal medicine or pediatrics. So I think you're exactly right. I think, don't let that scare you away from the true calling of being a medical doctor, if that's something you want to do. I want to ask you a couple of these questions, and then I'll ask you for some of your links to follow. But one of the questions that comes in says, what was the biggest challenge over medical school, residency, fellowships? What kept you motivated?
Well, if you're pursuing that dream that you have where you're really passionate and love it and you can't wait to get there, then you're always motivated. And these are just, you know, the hurdles you got to be able to jump over to get there. And it's all worth it when you get there and you're doing what you love. I mean, there's a lot. It is not easy to do this. And you know, once you get here, I mean, I love my life now. I don't take call. You know, I work hard. I get in. I leave my house probably 8 o'clock at the latest, and I don't get home till 7-8 o'clock at night most nights. I mean, here we are; it's almost 7:30 on a Friday when we're taping, and I'm not going to be home probably till 8:30 tonight, and it's Friday. But I love what I do, and right before we sat down, I just saw my last patient, so it's a constant flow for me, but I love what I'm doing. So, you know, there are lots of challenges along the way. Just getting into medical school is not a small one. You know, you've got to take the MCATs, do well on it, do well in college, get good grades so that you're competitive. And it's very difficult. It's very competitive to get into a medical school. That's number one. Number two, when you're in medical school, you got to get into a residency in the profession you want to go into. And something like plastic surgery is not easy. There's a lot of very competitive residency programs that you don't get to choose. It's not like applying for a job. What people don't understand, unless you're in this world, is you don't get to choose where you go for your residency program. There's a process called the match, and you're contractually bound to go wherever the hell they tell you got to go. And you may and may not get into the program of your choice, and you may not even get into the specialty of your choice. And you're agreeing that when you enter this process where you send applications, the programs receive the applications, they review it, they invite people for interviews, you go around interviewing, and then when all that's done, the program sits down and writes out the medical students they'd like to have as residents in order of their preference. The medical students sit down and they write to the programs, make a list of the programs that they would like to go to in order of their preference. And then this very complicated computer algorithm sorts it all out, and you get one envelope, and that envelope tells you where you're going. And whatever it says, you got to go, and that's where you're going to get your training. So it's not like applying for a regular job. That's another hurdle, is getting through the match. And then you got to start your career. And depending upon what kind of doctor you're going to be, it'll dictate whether you're going to work in an office, you work in a hospital, be part of a big group, be a solo practitioner, work 3 or 4 days a week, work 7 days a week with a week off. I mean, there's so many different varieties. And that's why even people that think they know what they want to do going into medical school, till you see it and you got boots on the ground and really understanding what a doctor's lifestyle is in that particular specialty, you may not have a real sense. And when you see it, you say, man, I don't want to do that. So you may shift gears and you may discover something else. Wow, you know, I never thought about doing that, you know, whatever it might be, but hey, I kind of like it. It's really interesting to me. And man, these guys have a great life, or I want to do that kind of thing my whole, you know, the rest of my life. So you'll find your passion, your motivation. If you don't have it, and you might shift gears, but make sure it's, you know, based in the real understanding. And, you know, that's what you do in medical school. You're exactly right. Most people will go through that and figure it out, but lots of challenges along the way, and, you'll persevere. The motivation is getting to that end goal, doing what you want to do.
That's such great advice, what you just said there, because, I'm glad you walked us through the residency and the medical school, process, because I'm very familiar with it because my sister went through it, and she's actually a second year resident at the University of Wisconsin. Same thing that happened, just like you said, there was an envelope, and then you kind of, that's where you're going to move and that's where you're going to go. So thank you for pointing that out. I had kind of forgotten about that whole process.
Yeah, and it could be anywhere in the world too, right? I mean, where were you guys from?
So my sister's actually lives in Michigan, and she got matched in Madison with her fiance, and they got matched at the same residency.
That's awesome. Yeah, there is you can do a couples match, so that yep. And put you both in the same place in obviously typically different programs. But you know, wherever they were told to go, they were in Michigan and moving to Wisconsin. There's no reneg on that. You know, you go or you don't get trained.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. And somebody asked, what major did you major in college? And does it matter for medical school?
Actually, I don't think it matters much. There's kind of this misunderstanding that you've got to do biology, chemistry, physics, you know, something like that, microbiology, biochem, one of the big science-based majors. And my major was in psychology.
Wow. Interesting. So, yeah, just as long as you get your, core sciences or whatever you need to have done.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to do, you've got to get all your prereqs, but apart from that, there's no need. When I looked at it, I wanted to have a broader education and not focus so early on science, even though I love science. I got all my prereqs in, maybe did even a little more than I had to, but it was my last and everyone's last opportunity to get a broad-based education. So, you know, I was fascinated by psychology, still am, enjoy it a lot. And truth be told, it's very relevant to what I do today because we deal with a lot of insecurities of patients and their vulnerability and understanding different personalities. There's a lot of psychology to the care that I give today, and I'm glad that I have that education.
That makes sense. So tell us how people can follow you and what you've got going on behind the scenes. I know you mentioned something about Instagram. Tell us how, you know, if people are really interested by this, how they can interact with you.
Yeah, sure. We have so many different channels. My IG is probably the thing that most people would have the easiest time accessing and get the most out of. One of my IG accounts is at Dr. Rubenstein, DrRubinstein. And I've got a 59 or 60,000 followers. So be careful which account you follow, because believe it or not, there are some catfish accounts that use my picture, my face, and my name, and they're not me. So just be careful. If you see 59,000 plus followers, that's me. And we show live surgery. Like I said, if you check out the story every day, matter of fact, you check out my story today, you'll see live surgery. So I encourage you to do that. And we post a lot of interesting stuff. I've got a few campaign out there. We're calling hashtag It's Not All the Same. Earlier I was talking about docs that shouldn't be doing what I'm doing and people looking for, you know, making choices they probably shouldn't be making. You'll see that on the IG. It's kind of funny. So I encourage you to check out the latest one, New Me Now, which is mail order plastic surgery. You'll check that out. I think it's a fun thing to see. I have the other IG, which is at Plastic Surgery Truths, plural with an S. So at Plastic Surgery Truths is all Q&A and educational videos, 100% video. And it's just meant to answer questions that people have. They send me questions. I answer it in video. We post it up, give everybody a shout out that sent the question in. And you can learn a lot there. And there's other features there too, where we help educate patients making choices. We're in YouTube. You can look it up on my name, Dr. Adam Rubenstein, Facebook, and my website, real simple, www.dr-rubenstein.com. Happy to help. If any students want to get some experience, maybe come in to do a shadow here and there. We're always welcoming people, medical students who want to get experience in plastic surgery, or even we get doctors from all over the world that want to come in and spend a day or a week or however long, just observing and learning. We're happy to do that.
So awesome. And guys, we'll post these links into the comment section so you guys can get to them really easy to make sure you follow Dr. Rubenstein's work. It's pretty fascinating. We've had an internal medicine doctor. We've had now a plastic surgeon, and we've got a PA next week and a nurse practitioner. So we continue to fill out these career libraries. You've been a great help to me and my audience. I just want to say thank you. We know you're really busy serving your patients. And like you said, you're sitting here late at night talking to a guy on a virtual camera, but you're really helping these students, and I feel like these millennials advance their career that they want to go into. So thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure. And if you're watching and you're thinking about what you want to do, just really love what you do, and whatever it takes, whatever hurdles there are, wherever obstacles are in your way, perseverance will get you where you want to be, and you'll be happy for it.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.